Good evening and welcome to the February 13th meeting of Story for City Council. Mr. Stahl, please call and roll.
Mayor Pro Tem Jennings.
Present.
Alderman McCallum.
Present.
Alderwoman Schnell. Alderman Bowles.
Present.
Alderman Hoskins.
Present.
Mayor Sanford. We have a quorum.
For the record, Mayor Sanford did email and say that she could not be here tonight. So, pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Texas flag honors the
Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the United States,
one nation, under God,
one indivisible.
I don't think this will be necessary, but thank you guys for coming tonight. It's should be a fairly short meeting, I think, so we will see. The very first thing that we need to do after the pledges is a service recognition for a couple of park board members that have clearly made a difference in our city. The first one will be Anna Felt. And with great appreciation and honor, the City of Shore Acres hereby recognizes Anna Pell for her loyal and faithful service to the City of Shore Acres and its citizens on the Parks and Recreation Advisory Board from 2003 through 2017. That's a long time, folks. Give this to Mr. Pell. Thank you. And if you would like to tell us about your experience, I would really appreciate it, honestly.
Well, there's a lot to tell.
Only the good stuff. Only the good stuff.
Well, honestly, the Parks Board didn't come around until 2003. But prior to that, it was the Civic Association. As you know, we had the cook-off this weekend. A lot of the money back in the day before we had the Parks Board came from the Civic Association. The town's always been small. And so the Civic Association always came up and started working on flower beds and parks and that kind of thing. And then after 2003, they had a board, and with the board, we were able to make advisories to the city council where they knew what was going on out in the city and knew what problems needed to be addressed as far as parks equipment, trails, these types of things. And, you know, we have a master plan, but being such a small town, it works on grants. You know, we don't have a lot of money, so we don't have the jogging trails that say Seabrook or Pasadena, but we do the best we can. So we have a park, it's called Heron Park, and it is a tiny example of Armin Bayou. And actually, Shore Acres is it's a blessing that we have that little park. Then we have Circle Park, and we have all the amenities at Circle Park, like the swings and the slides and the tennis courts and the bathrooms. We finally got bathrooms. So it's really nice to have a grand plan, and hopefully you can stick to it, and hopefully as time goes by, you can work on these things and get grants to make the things that you're making your city better. So... that's it.
Okay, Mr. Stahl, would you please do the honors?
Absolutely.
Mr. Patel, would you come up here with your wife? I have to tell you, I'm like the worst photographer. I am the worst photographer ever, but David's okay. Thank you so much for your service. Oh, now you show my gut. I'm going to hide.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you
so much. Uh-huh. And we also have another one, and I don't believe Diane made it tonight. But Diane Victor has also served on our Parks Board, and And both of these ladies have done a great job. Diane served from 04 to 17, so one last year. But they have made a big difference in this city. And yes, we do have a small budget, but you guys have made it work. So I think that's pretty awesome.
Diane,
thank you so much.
Diane did have a conflict this evening.
Yeah.
And those of you that have the agenda, City Secretary went dyslexic, and I put an extra P and a L and left an N out of Diane. So I mistreated everyone uniformly. So I appreciate their service. It's right on the certificate.
Thank you, Mr. Stoltz. Okay. Moving on, council reports and requests. There's nothing here since Mayor Sanford's not here. Public hearings and public comments. This is your opportunity to address your council. Unfortunately, we cannot address you back. That's just the way the rules work. But we will listen and we will respond. So I'm going to start over here with Ms. Johnson and Mr. Moyer.
My name's, last name's Garton.
Darson.
Garton.
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 Okay. Would you like to comment to council?
No, I'll let you know beforehand. Thank you.
Mr. Moyer.
I'm Neil Moyer, 1118 North Country Club Drive. I'd like to speak tonight on item 7.4. As many are aware, the speed limit on Shore Acres Boulevard was somewhat unceremoniously altered by Precinct 2, a matter which still remains somewhat mysterious, given that they're rather slow, if not reluctant, to respond to public requests. But things move on. In any case, what they inadvertently did, though, was create a circumstance which would allow, under state law, golf carts to be part of the traffic on Shore Acres Boulevard from essentially Bayou Forest to 0146. Now, that raises a number of issues which it was clear that Precinct 2 folks weren't aware of. First of all, they were unaware of the state law that allowed this when the speed limit to 35 golf carts were allowed to enter the traffic mix. Secondly, many people are not aware, state law allows unlicensed drivers to drive golf carts. 14-year-olds, they drive golf carts in cities. That also suggests that 14-year-olds probably do not have liability insurance since they're not licensed drivers in the state of Texas. Thirdly, while golf carts may be allowed under state law, there are a few issues related to that of whether golf carts, in fact, limit themselves to 25 miles an hour, which state law provides for. This past weekend, in fact, I even saw a golf cart that had painted on rear red lights. Needless to say, they weren't terribly functional. And so I guess the bottom line is adding golf carts with unlicensed drivers, drivers with no liability insurance, golf carts which may or may not comply with the requirements that they have to have, raises questions, particularly since traffic moves at a somewhat brisk pace on Shore Acres Boulevard, notwithstanding the speed limit change. So I hope that the council will consider this matter, give it all seriousness. It is a safety issue. It's one that affects safety, not just of the operators and users of golf carts, but also other vehicles on the trying to share the same road. I'm glad to see that item 7.2 is on the agenda. I'm not sure why it didn't sustain itself on the last agenda since there was no explanation. But in any case, I think it's a good thing for the council to recognize that one of the few petition actions that could be done in Texas in fact succeeded and hopefully will go forth for determination of voters that are election. Thank you very much for your time.
Yes. One point of clarification just for council. I didn't. Are you for or against 7.4?
I am support 7.4.
since it would still allow golf carts to be used throughout the city where the speed limits are posted at 25 miles an hour or less, the only road in Shore Acres that this would really affect would be the stretch from Shore Acres Boulevard from over 146 to essentially by 4.
Thank you.
You're almost done. Does this help?
I know. I had the floor. I forgot to say. I just wanted to thank David Stahl for, we finally got the cook-off on the front wall, on our sign-off front, and it made, we had record numbers show up as far as people walking in, and we had 17 teams. So,
awesome. That's Brent.
Brenda Brown, 631 Fairfield. And what I'm up here about is the fluctuation on our water bills. I lived by myself for 17 years, and my water bill fluctuates horrible. I got this one out of the post office today, and it reads 9. Last month was 1. The month before was 2. Then it was 4. Then it was 2. Then it was 3. Then it was 17, then it was 4, then it was 6, then it was 5, then it was 5, then it was 5, and then it was 3. There's no way my water bill fluctuates like that. I have a pretty much set routine monthly. And, you know, since y'all want to cut off water for people if they're past 10 days, if everybody's bills fluctuate like this, I mean, mine's 113 this month. This is just, there needs to be something done about this. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. Ms. Kinn? Mr. Kinn? Mr. Brandbrooks? Ms. Horton?
Angela Horton, 228 Seagrove. I just want to actually bring something to your attention if you're not already aware of it. And I only recently became aware of it. And our school bus stops. And I know that it's not us in the city that needs to be. That we need to do anything except for maybe calling the Ford school district and saying, hey, we need better school bus stops. But the bus stop at Shore Acres Boulevard and Sunrise, there is nowhere to stand, and the kids are out in the street. And that's just not safe. I mean, I drive a teeny tiny car, and I'm not going to do much damage, but I can do some damage. I just don't think that it's safe. And I just wish that maybe us as a city can talk to them.
Point of clarification, can you tell me which corner it is on? Because I don't know.
The C. That would be the northwest corner. So where the stop sign, if you're going down, if you're going south on Sunrise towards Shore Acres Boulevard, they stand right there at the stop sign. And there's a ditch. I mean, the white demarcation line for the roadway, I mean, you have that much asphalt on the other side, and then you have a ditch. Like, if I'm the demarcation, he's in the ditch. I mean, that's how bad it is. You know, and I just don't think that there's not enough room for anybody to stand there. I mean, hell, Felicia's the smallest one in here, and she couldn't stand there without being hit by a car. I just don't want to see a kid get hit. You know, and the ditches are deep. No one's going to see me until a golf cart drives by.
Thank you. All right, Mr. Gary?
I don't think I've spoken before. I'm Gary Morgan Golke. I live at 510 Shore Acres Boulevard. Right across the street from Circle Park, where I enjoyed the excellent chili cook-off on Saturday. I have some neighbors who are good cooks, and I enjoy seeing all the activity over there, and so that's fun. Wanted to ask, or at least put the question out about the palm trees on Shore Acres Boulevard. I live right here. Mine was the last one in this whole section to die, but as of now, I don't have any green leaves on it, and so it's just a matter of time before the last brown ones fall off. The last meeting I was at, there was talk, I guess there was no money in the budget, and there was some question about a university study of palm trees and what's killing them, and they're going to use drones to look at them and all that stuff. Anyway, I would cut it down, but I don't have any place to put it. I know it's on the right of way, and I'm not allowed to cut it down, but something needs to be done. Even if I take mine down, my yard will look better, but all my neighbors have eyesore. dead palm trees. Hopefully something can be done, or we can plan to do something. Thanks.
Thank you. Ms. Campbell Bates. Just before we start the regular meeting, this is our city attorney, Mr. Gregg.
Mr. Gregg.
And our city engineer, Mr. Gaynor, Jerry Gaynor. All right. Where are we? Administrative report, 2.1. City Hall staffing update. Mr. Stoll.
Okay. Keep you up to date on where we're at. Of course, we, our municipal court clerk retired. And the plan was to move the court services to the city of LaPorte. That didn't work out, so we have a vacancy at municipal court clerk. Our accounting assistant, Annie Lipcomb, has resigned her position to take another job, and so we have a vacancy there. We have posted and advertised a position. And are receiving applications and resumes daily. In the interim, I used a temporary agency to bring someone in who started today and will be working with us to try to keep the end of the snorkel above the water until we can fill the position permanently. And so it is myself and Ann Weaver are the only two full-time employees in City Hall covering all the bases. That's all I've got for the update.
All right, 6.12, city election update.
City election update, the filing closes for three council positions at 5 p.m. on Friday. City Hall normally closes at noon, and it will close at noon for purposes of everything except for filing for office, and I will be here until 5 p.m. on Friday to accept applications for a place on the ballot. They brought in person or sent by fax or email. If you are considering running and putting your name on the ballot, I strongly suggest that you don't wait till Friday so that if there is an error or a problem with the application, you have time to submit a replacement. It's not permissible to modify or to amend an application once it's filed, so you need to leave enough time for that to happen again. We do have four candidates that have filed for office, and they are on the city's website. So we will have an election for city alderman, in that we have four running for place of three. We also have two other initiatives that are on the ballot. One is a reauthorization of our 0.25% sales tax for street maintenance, and a Chapter 25 election for city manager and former government. That's all I got.
Thank you. And last for Mr. Stoll is a municipal court update.
Municipal court continues to operate here out of Shore Acres and will for the foreseeable future. We had, in anticipation of moving that operation to LaPorte, and moved our court date schedule around for both jury trial and our routine court date. Our next court date will be the evening of March 9th, and business will go on as close to as usual as possible. That's all I have for this report.
All right, next is 6.2, the Monthly Police Department Report. Mr. Harrison, Chief Harrison.
Thank you, sir. I know you received this probably before the weekend. I had a chance to look at it. I'll make a couple of notes here. The two radars that we were given in the New Year's budget, we purchased both of those now. One of them are installed. I'm waiting. The last one came in last week. It should be installed in a couple of weeks, and that'll give us two of those radars, and those are the ones that's moving radars, so it makes it a lot easier to be traveling down the road and not have to be stopped in order to check the speed of people coming at you and also coming up behind you. It's been a luxury for us. We haven't enjoyed anything like that. So thank you for giving us those. They've been a real help, and you also are absolutely using the one that they've already gotten. It's not too early to start talking about spring break, and the young lady mentioned the school bus stops. When spring break is out here, these kids, I don't know why they get up so early when they don't have to go to school, but they are outside in the mornings during the heavy traffic time when people are traveling. And before spring break this year is 13th through 17th March. We do have a meeting on the 13th, and I'll bring it up again, but y'all keep that in your mind. Citizens need to keep that in their minds. There's going to be lots of lots of kids out here in the mornings and in the afternoons. Other than that, we're playing along and doing what our citizens expect from us.
Is that a new bus stop? This is the first I've heard of this.
No, sir. And quite frankly, we've got several bus stops that the kids wait in the roadway, for lack of a better term, and we've talked about that. And they have moved some for some reasons, but in that area, if you look at that particular area, it's just a tough place to have the kids meet up, I guess. I mean, it's the school districts. They've come out and looked at it. I know they have because I've talked to them.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody have any questions for the chief?
Thank you. Going through the monthly public works department report, Mr. Stahl. Anything interesting?
I'll be giving the report for Eric Ingram this evening. You have in your packet a written report. I would comment that we had a couple problem trees that were at risk of falling on Oakdale, and we put that out for quotes. Tree removal is not inexpensive, but it turned out that those trees could safely be brought down without endangering any other property. We always use a contractor when the tree could fall on a house, a car, or do some damage, and those trees were pretty much in the open and taken a lot. The Public Works Department took those trees down over a course of about a week, saving us several hundred dollars in cost to have the trees removed by professionals. Not that our guys aren't pretty professional, but we got the trees down. Also, we've had quite a bit of a break. I guess that's a pun, but we've not had much in the way of water breaks or leaks, which has given us some relief on the other tasks and getting things done. We've been working on storm drainage projects and making sure that the ditches are clear. And the mowing has slowed down because the grass has slowed down. And that's all I've got for public works report.
Why don't you address the palm tree thing right now?
Okay. We have a number of dead palm trees. Palm trees are uniquely stable in that a dead tree will stand for a very long time. They're also very dense. They're really not trees, they're grass, so they're difficult to cut. They're not chainsaw friendly. The cost of removing the palm tree is the order of a couple times more than a standard tree of the same size. We have been working with the state, and they have been working with Texas A&M on the particular disease that these trees may have had. And their conclusion is that most of these trees are not diseased and do not pose a particular risk, the disease risk, although that we're monitoring them. We're aware of one more tree that has died since the gentleman who spoke here this evening. We have another tree in the 600 block that has since died. But we did not budget funds to remove those trees this year. That said, any tree that becomes a hazard that we believe will pose the potential of falling, we will go ahead and remove. But at this particular point, our stance is we're observing the trees, we're watching them, we're particularly watching for any spread of any potential disease. A&M has identified some at-risk trees for us to watch, and so far those trees have not shown any evidence of disease.
For discussion purposes, is there any penalty to a resident that would cut one that would happen to be in the city right away that was dead?
The city code requires that you get permission from the city to remove the tree from the street right away. If we agree that the tree is dead, be it palm or otherwise, we will give that permission, and you are welcome to remove the tree, of course, at your own expense. If the tree is not dead, we do not make that decision administratively to remove a tree. That is then sent to the Board of Adjustment, and a group of citizens decide whether or not to authorize the removal of the tree. And so they take it seriously. We're trying to preserve our street trees. The exception is that there are some varieties of trees that are considered trash trees, like China berry tree or tallow tree. That can't be removed without going through that process.
Thank you.
All right. That would be the administrative report. Moving on to business. 7.1.
discussion of the city's elevated water storage tower condition, suitability, and possible action to initiate planning for replacement. This will be Mr. Bowles, but I think he has the city engineer, Mr. Gaines, to present that to us.
Do you want me to go through the presentation?
Sure.
Or do you want to go through the presentation? Or?
Real quick, just before you start, I want Mr. Gregg, our city attorney, to clarify something. We do not have to have a written resolution for this discussion. It doesn't have to be in the presentations, correct? We can bring it in city business.
That is correct. 7.1 discussion, what was read, discussion of city elevated water storage. Proper under business. It does not have to have a resolution. It's discussion of.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify email earlier. Just want clarification of what we got. So.
Mr. Gaines.
Thank you.
Yeah, I prepared this particular PowerPoint presentation. I sent it to the city engineer for his review, and he will answer. I will present the slides, and he will answer the questions. And so let me walk you through it here real quickly. We have an existing elevated storage or water tower. It's on Bioforest. I'm sure everyone knows where that's at. It's the big wall in the sky. There's a 50,000-gallon tank that was erected in 1973. That's what it looks like, and even in this photograph, you can see some surface rust on the ball and even on the standpipe. Located right at the city limits, where we have water plant number 2. We had an engineering report done on this in 2012, which was done by Mr. Gaynor, the city engineer. At that time, he observed base plate deterioration, the wind brace clevis end deterioration, extreme corrosion of the catwalk floor and interior ladder, coating of the tank interior being essentially gone, covered with surface rust, 10 holes in the tank wall, and he recommended replacement in 2012 within 2 to 3 years. Those 10 holes provide us with a constant light rain underneath the tower year-round. They do drip from those 10 holes. This is what the base plates look like, their attachment points at the bottom. This is the clevis that was referred to, and you can see the lamination there from rust. This is the interior ladder at that time. I will tell you that we have on a 5-year cycle tank inspections interior. We hire a diving company, and the diving company will no longer dive our tank. They do not consider it safe for entry by the divers. The existing capacity is 50,000 gallons. TDCQ, which is the regulatory authority for water systems, their requirement is 100 gallons per connection. We current connection being customers. We currently have 660 connections. The existing tank only provides capacity for 500 connections. We're 160 short of the minimum requirement. Now, I will say that since 1973, we have passed that number. With the new builds. Additional new homes will just put us further away from meeting the current capacity. And that 160 short is post-Ike. This is current numbers. Operating pressure limits. The operating pressure of a water system is determined by the elevation of the bottom of the water tank. It provides static pressure so that we don't rely strictly on the booster pumps. And that also means that when there's a power failure, the booster pumps don't operate, but the tank provides system pressure. The taller the tank, the higher the pressure. When we rebuilt our system after Ike, we raised the water pressure an additional 10 PSI. We have small old lines, and we have had increasing demands from our residents to have better water flow. And one of the ways to do that is you either put in bigger lines or higher pressure to get to that capacity. And so we took our system from 43 PSI up to 50 PSI. What that means is our water tower is too short. So we had to put an altitude valve on that tower because otherwise at 50 PSI it would just overflow all the time. And so we have a tower that's too short for our current pressure. Life expectancy, this is a welded carbon sealed tank. It has an average design life expectancy of 40 plus years. That lifespan is a function of the plate thickness and the routine maintenance coating, which is expensive, and this city had deferred maintenance on the tower for many years. the thickness of that plating is kind of presenting its own testimony and having pinholes through it to go from the inside to the outside. So we have a 44-year-old tank. Maintenance costs, we have not, at this juncture, spent any time and effort on the maintenance costs. We did get an estimate on some rehab costs. And so what I'm proposing, and in the past the council had looked at, is a new water tower to replace the existing tower. The new water tower, we propose to have a capacity of 200,000 gallons. That puts us above the required number for our connections and also allows us to meet the requirement when our community is fully built out. People grossly underestimate the number of vacant lots we have. We have a large number of vacant lots. When the land was cheap and people were coming in early, it was not uncommon to build a house and buy the lot next door. And so there are a lot of people who own two lots, and in recent years, the value of the land is such that they started selling those lots, and of course, all of them can be sold and developed. Operating pressure limits. By building a new tower, we can have it at the proper elevation height to provide us with 60 PSI pressure. And here are the numbers for what that would look like. So the tower would be taller, in the ballpark of 20 feet taller than the existing tower. And design options, and these are things that you're able to talk about. It's going back with a welded steel storage bowl and steel support, or a composite, which would be a steel bowl with a concrete pedestal. There are other options, such as a bolted tank, that we could explore if that really became desirable. Location options, we would replace the existing tower. We could do it adjacent to the existing tower. There's not enough real estate there to do it adjacent without purchasing additional property. The additional property there would be in the city of LaPorte, and my recommendation would be that we don't build a facility in the city of LaPorte to serve the city of Shore Acres. Another option is to build adjacent to water plant number one, which is the water plant the other side of Public Works, and that would be the option that I would recommend. We own the property on the other side of the fence where the existing tank is at. We have larger ground storage capacity and larger pumping capacity at this plant that's been recently rebuilt, and having a water tower there has a lot of advantages. It also would allow construction to happen completely until it's ready to online without disrupting water plant number two and the storage facility that's there. So that's the bioforest. You can see here the footprint of the existing tower takes up the space that's there next to the ground storage. To the right of that is the backyard of the residential property. This would be the adjacent property, which would be on the fourth. You would have to go to the north of the utility easements that are there, where there are multiple utilities. The other option here, adjacent to water plant number one, would be this property here. I would propose, and what we had costing on was putting in box culvert to close in the existing drainage that's there and to build a tower over the top of that. Of course, the footing would go significantly below anything that would impact by the drainage. It wouldn't disrupt drainage. Our last engineering estimate, which I believe is 2 years old, was just a little more than, 2014, just a little more than $1 million to do that tower. Depending on the design that's selected, the construction material affects the life expectancy. Other considerations that we have would be a water plant two to add a variable frequency drive or a new hydrostatic tank, which would allow us to operate with pressure at that plant. We also have existing antenna contracts. The water tower that we do have has a number of wireless carriers on it for which we collect rent. So we get, in that tower, it's less than $1,000 a month, but it is $1,000. It is revenue. And so one of the things we would look at is how we would maintain a facility for the antenna, or if we would have to absorb that reduction in revenue. Financing options, if council goes forward, we can have bond council come and speak knowledgeably about what all of the current options are, bond versus loans, conventional lenders, Texas Water Development Board, which is a loan. There are no available for this city grants to get free money, but we can get reduced interest rate loans through the Water Development Board. The next step is to determine a proposed location so that we can establish design specifications and get trued up construction costs and demolition costs for removing the existing tank, and then identify funding sources of those costs, and also look at our antenna contracts, all of which isn't going to happen overnight, but it has to have a start point of council pulling the trigger. And that's the slide presentation. I'll turn it over to Mr. Gingham.
Well, I think David's presentation was pretty comprehensive. I would encourage each of you on the council to actually go down there and get the Public Works to let you in and look at it. It's been like 4 years and 3 months since that inspection, and it's in bad shape. Could it fall over? Yes. Need to look at the clevis, but the base plates are literally rusting away, and the lamination is just, the surface is just peeling away. So it really needs to be addressed one way or another. You may have to do some bracing and some welding or something in a temporary fashion, just so it doesn't fall over. But something's got to be done, because it will fall over eventually. Questions as far as tanks?
Anyone on council have a question? Mr. Hoskins.
Are there other alternatives other than having a water tank? I know that not all cities actually have water tanks. And reading something about alternative capacity requirements, and I don't know if we would qualify for that under TCEQ. We're basically running a needle water tank that's elevated storage. And we're basically storing and maintaining the pressure through alternative methods. Mm-hmm. Is that something that
you can do it with pressure tanks? It's the water tower. If you have a loss of power or some other event, that elevated storage keeps the pressure on the system without the need for power. Obviously, you got to have power to pump it back up, raise the water back up there, but fire flow, a lot of things depend on the pressure, not just when you're taking a shower or something, you want good water pressure, but when something's burning, you want the pressure to be there and you want the water to get delivered. And with strictly a pressure tank, there are problems. We have problems with this pressure tank. And pressure tanks are subject to a fair amount of maintenance also.
Of course. So, I'm just wondering about what are all the alternatives would be.
The alternative is pressure tank and or booster pumps.
And we would certainly need to have alternative. If we looked at something alternative, we need to make sure we have power back up for certain. So that in case there is a power failure, we still have power there. But I think what we also need to do is just look at the difference in the costs and the maintenance over the whole time period.
We can run numbers on that. I think you'll find that the elevated tank in the long term will be cheaper and less maintenance than putting in the pump systems.
How big of a footprint do you need for the pump systems? Is it about the same as a water tower, or is it going to be a lot bigger?
Be roughly the same size.
About the same.
Mr. Hoskins, are you finished?
Yes.
Mr. Bowles, anything else?
Yes. On the composite and steel, are they both about a 4-year lifespan, or are you finding that we can get a longer life out of them now?
with new technology and stuff?
Well, it's maintenance. I mean, if you have a steel tank and you're painting it on a regular basis, I mean, it theoretically could last forever if you really do the maintenance. If you don't do any maintenance, I mean, I think you're looking at a good example,
right,
and you've got 44 years out of it at this point.
Okay. All right, any questions? Mr. McCallum?
In 2014, whenever they did the last estimate, rounding up, it was $1.1 million in that three-year span. Since nothing was done, how much of an increase do you think it's going to be from the 2014 estimate? If you could, you even...
It's probably maybe 8%.
8%?
Yeah.
I'm done.
Another $8,000. So you mentioned the lack of a maintenance program. So we had a lack of a maintenance program. Is that what contributed to this?
Well, I think long term, yes. If you're not, I mean, some things just wear out. Maintenance or no maintenance, like your concrete sewer lines in this town are crumbling, and if the cave-ins.
Right, but if I heard you correctly, you said if there was a maintenance program, it would theoretically last forever.
If you painted it, you know, and that's painting it inside and out.
Sure.
I mean, you actually, you know, between it having its life expectancy end with little maintenance and having a tank that really would be very beneficial to have a larger tank, you probably kind of broke it even by not doing a lot of maintenance on it. But you do see towns, I mean, they paint their water towers on a regular basis. You know, it's steel and it's going to rust. You've got to keep it coated, and you know, you can still do things like you could go in and cut the legs off and weld a new leg on it with a new base plate, but you still have the bowl up top that has got pinholes in it, and so just the standard ordinary steel is going to rust.
Right. So as we discussed earlier today on the phone, and as Mr. Hoskins brought up this evening, there are alternatives. Are you going to look into those?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Does council have anything else?
I'm going to open. Does anybody on the floor have anything to say?
Any questions?
Mr. Ambrose.
Are there any other materials apart from carbon steel that you can look at?
There's one company that's doing it's a fully galvanized structure. It's basically a bolted tank that is elevated. Bolted tanks are subject to the bolts beginning to leak after a long period of time, so you can have leaks. I think the ground storage tank here is a bolted steel tank, and I think it's had a few leaks over time. You can go in, you can drain it, go in, put new bolts, new gaskets. But the galvanized structure, you know, doesn't need painting. And it has a really long life expectancy because of the galvanization.
So just shooting them at here, how much longer are we looking at?
Well, 60, you know, here you were at 44 years. So, I mean, I'm going to say 60, 70 years you can get out of the galvanized structure.
So could you do us a cost comparison from carbon steel and life longevity for both?
Sure.
What about a concrete one?
Well,
I know that the cost is probably going to be more expensive, mm-hmm. but long term, wouldn't it last longer?
You have the composite. You see a lot of water towers being built where they have a concrete cylinder, but it's still a steel tank on top. The benefit of that is it doesn't have legs that rust. It takes a little less maintenance because you're just painting your bowl. Those are more expensive. That's currently the top of the line water tower. Then you have a steel pedestal, you know, like you have it look like a golf ball on a golf tee, basically. You've seen them paint them different ways. And that's going to be less than the concrete cylinder, but it's very close in cost. And that, of course, you have that entire pedestal to paint and maintain. Then you have the legged structure, which is what you've got now, a four-legged structure. And so each of those legs is sitting on a foundation, and each, you know, it's got to be painted and taken care of. And then you have the legged structure. This galvanized tank is on a four-legged structure, and it's just a ground storage tank basically sitting on an elevated platform.
Sure. Thank you. Anyone else real quick? Ms. Bates?
I probably know the answer to this, but we're going to pay that much money for a tank. Why wasn't this one taken care of? Why wasn't it maintained?
I believe Mr. Kane said it was 44 years old, but go ahead.
I think it's been in the budget. I mean, I think there's been budget shortfalls over the years, and it just wasn't a priority.
Can I ask
that answer your question? Yes, sir.
On the, you say that the tank requires painting and regular maintenance. Are you specifically referring to the exterior or the interior as well? Is the interior coated as well?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So how would they go about performing the maintenance on the interior of the tank if there's no backup water supply for this town? You know, how would they actually perform the maintenance for 40 years? If, in order to do the maintenance, you have to drain the tank, perform a coating. It sounds like there's not a secondary supply set up in order to do the maintenance that you're...
You can bring in a portable booster station and maintain the water pressure in the system on a temporary basis while you drain the tank and paint it inside and out.
Yeah, and we have, for the record, we do have two water supplies. One right here and the one over at BioForce.
Yeah, you do. You do have a dual system here, and which is critical. I mean, you want redundancy. If something happens on one part of the system, you want a backup, basically.
Any other questions?
Would there be any value in keeping the old tank in place if there were another tanker pump system installed? In order to keep the antennas on it and have that revenue, or is it such of a liability that you definitely want to get rid of the old one, or have the old one as a backup or anything, or you just definitely want to get rid of it?
Well, you really have to get rid of it because you can't leave it there empty. That's when water towers actually do blow over. There have been a few cases where some people thought the water tower should be drained during a hurricane. I think this happened in Baytown, and they drained some of them, and that's when that water sitting up there, even though it's way elevated, it's kind of the ballast that keeps the thing from blowing over.
Any other questions, real quick?
Okay, just when you did the study, the study was done in 2014, looking at the condition of the water tower, was there any research done into the underground, the mains? Supplies to the actual connection to the house.
You mean as far as the foundation?
No, I mean, I just mean the condition
of the supplies.
Yeah, the supplies. Do we understand the condition of those pipes? If you're saying that the water tower sounds like it's in pretty bad condition, mm-hmm. Assuming that the lines supplies to the actual connection to the homeowners were installed around the same time and subsequently thereafter, do we understand the condition of the mains at the source, and then also throughout the...
There have been a lot of lines replaced. I mean, particularly they're replaced as leaks are determined. The pressurized water system it fails with a leak, but it's usually a small area. Whereas, like, the sanitary sewer system, we've had the pipe burst this year. We've had long sections where the top of the pipe is just gone. And then there was a cave-in down there on Shore Acres Boulevard, and there was a cave-in over on
South. That doesn't have to do with the water supply.
It doesn't, but it's point is that the water system is a little easier to satisfy the repair to it because they're smaller systems. Overall, your point's well made. I mean, the system is old. I mean, this stuff was built in the early 1960s, and it's a lot of it's reaching its service life. But water lines typically, they can last for 80 years, whereas these sewer systems are lasting for about 50, and they're starting to crater.
If I could add to that a little, a few years ago, we had
established a water distribution system plan that says what our ideal, what our goal, an intermediate goal is for water line size and distribution, and for the expansion of our firefighting capacity. We've been following that plan, and when lines failed, they're being replaced under the new plan with the new size and the new lengths. We have also sought grants, and we have installed new lines. We've run a new 8-inch line from this water plant to the corner of Sunrise and Oakdale, by example, to extend service further east. This council has considered and budgeted in the past years to do an extension from that. It will go to the Yacht Club. Yacht Club is our largest fire load in the city, and unfortunately, it had about the worst water service in the city. We've raised that about 50% with the work we've done so far, and we have plans to continue to do that as funds are available. So we have a blueprint. We know where that's at, and I wish Jerry was right that some of our lines go back to the 60s, but the reality is, particularly on the east end of the city, many of our water lines date from the 30s, and they are undersized. But they were, when they were installed, they were iron pipes, and they have out-survived some of what was the more modern concrete asbestos larger pipes that have been failing wholesale. So we have a real mix of materials. Every time we do a repair, we log the size and the condition of the material so that we can target where to spend our money in repairing the system. But it's an ongoing thing, and the water system is actually in better shape than the sewer system because it creates issues that you can't ignore, and we work on those.
I have just one small question on top of that, and you'll answer it very quickly. What's the frequency of those incidents or ruptures?
Oh, well, we have three on tonight's agenda for the last month.
I mean, over the time span of the past 3 years or something, how's the frequency of those been?
They're pretty frequent. They're pretty frequent. And they're driven by a lot of different things. We expected more of them when we increased the pressure, and we didn't. That's good. But when there's drought or there's abnormal rain, it causes movement of the earth. And when it shifts, those asbestos concrete pipes are brittle, and so it just snaps them. A lot of those we just put a clamp on and repair with a clamp. So,
all right. Mr. Moore, your last question.
If we had a mild steel tank that had the capacity for the future, what would be your estimate of the maintenance cost and the frequency of maintenance that should be performed on the steel tank?
You're looking at, there are some estimates, I think it's around 200,000 every 10 years or so.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Gaines.
You're welcome.
Council doesn't mind. I'll release Mr. Gregg to go home.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Visit his family a little bit tonight.
Thank you.
All right. Item 7.2, consideration and approval of ordinance number 2017-247, placing a proposition on the 2017 regular annual election ballot to vote whether the City of Shoreacre shall adopt the city manager form of government. Mr. Bowles.
I make a motion to consider and approve ordinance number 2017-247, placing a proposition on the 2017 regular annual election ballot to vote whether the City of Shoreacre shall adopt the city manager form of government.
Do I have a second?
Second.
So I have a motion by Mr. Bowles and a second by Mr. McCown. Do we have any discussion, starting with Mr. Hoskins?
Well, the ordinance itself as it's written is a little confusing because it's basically, we are, where is it? It's a little confusing, it's redundant. We are ordering a special election that's already been ordered. I'm not sure why we're doing this. It's not really within our power to do this. If we don't do this, it's going to be on the ballot anyway. We're just being redundant here. Um, This doesn't make any sense to me. We're ordering a special election that's already been ordered. That makes no sense. So go ahead. We can both vote on it. I'm fine.
Okay. Mr. Bowles?
Mr. Stahl?
Yes.
What was the Secretary of State's opinion?
Secretary of State advice was for us to pass an order that the election code says that the governing body shall order elections. And they agree that it would not be a defect that would keep it from being on the ballot because they also have section 3.002 of the election code says that where it's in conflict with another statute, which in this case is the local government code, that the local government code shall prevail. So we have already ordered it by proclamation, by the mayor's proclamation, but the local government code does not touch all the bases of early voting and the things that are in an order. And the Secretary of State's office recommends that we do the order by council in addition to the proclamation.
Thank you.
Anything else, Mr. Bowles?
No, sir.
Mr. McCallum?
I'm good.
All right. I'll take a look. We have a proper motion, a proper second. I'll take a vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Any abstentions? And the motion passes 4-0. All right. Item 7.3. Consideration and action to approve Resolution 2017-233, appointing the clerk of the Shore Acres Municipal Court and appointing a deputy municipal court clerk. Mr. Stahl, I assume this has to do with the failure of LaPorte to accept our stuff regarding municipal court, so that, go ahead.
That's correct. You know, we previously, two meetings ago, passed a resolution naming court clerks, making the court clerk or the chief clerk employee of the city of LaPorte, and now we're moving it back home. We only have one employee in the city that is eligible to serve as our municipal court clerk, and we only have one employee that is eligible to serve as a deputy court clerk, and they're both in this resolution.
Thank you. Now that we have an explanation as to what this is, we have a motion to pass it.
I'll make a motion to consider an action to approve Resolution 2017-233, appointing the clerk of the Shore Acres Municipal Court and appointing a deputy municipal court clerk.
Do I have a second?
A second.
So we have a motion by Mr. Bowles, a second by Mr. Hoskins. Do we have any discussion? Mr. Hoskins?
Yep.
Mr. Bowles?
No, sir.
Mr. McCown?
No, sir.
No discussion being heard. I'll take a vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The item passes 4-0. Item 7.4, consideration and approval of ordinance number 2017-253, amending the Shore Acres City Code, regulating the use of golf carts, prohibit use on public streets or highways with a speed limit greater than 25 miles per hour. Do I have a motion, Mr. Bowles?
I make a motion to consider and approve ordinance number 2017-253, amending the Shore Acres City Code, regulating the use of golf carts to prohibit use on public streets or highways with a speed limit greater than 25 miles per hour.
Do I have a second?
Second.
So I have a motion by Mr. Bowles and a second by Mr. McCown. Do I have any discussion, Mr. Hoskins?
I'm going to reserve and wait until I hear the rest of the council speak to this.
Mr. Bowles?
Go
ahead.
You actually have the floor first under our rules.
No, but that's fine.
I'm running the meeting, so there you go. Mr. Bowles.
I had concern whenever the speed limit was changed on the main thoroughfare from old 146 to 146. As a golf cart person here in the neighborhood, we stay off of it. It's too dangerous. I'm concerned about kids 14 and under or 14 and up that don't have driver's license. It's bad enough they ride around in the neighborhoods. Getting them on a major thoroughfare, it's a safety concern. And I think that's this portion that we need to stay off of. I live right on old 146. I have to cross the street. I legally cannot drive on the road, and we don't. And I have to cross at an intersection, and that's what we do. And I just think that it, for the general safety of everyone, I like having golf carts in the neighborhood, and I think we need to keep it safe and look out for the safety of others. I don't think this is unreasonable. So I'm concerned about people going down Boulevard and speed limit's 35. People still don't do 35. They're still thinking 40, maybe a little faster. And if somebody overtakes another car and passes and there's a golf cart there, something bad's going to happen. So that was my main concern about this, and that's why. And listening to Mr. Moyer and others, I think it was a good idea. So that's all I have.
Ms. McCown.
I definitely think that this should be an ordinance that we pass due to the fact no one's gotten hurt yet. We don't even wait until someone does get hurt. And I think we should have already done it when we can handle it tonight. So we need to jump on this immediately.
Now we're back to Mr. Hoskins.
It almost seems like we're trying to legislate parenting and legislate common sense here. If you don't want to drive on Troy Acres Boulevard on a golf cart, don't. You're allowed to take a moped. This isn't preventing bicycles and mopeds. I mean, if you're a parent and you don't want your child riding their bicycle on Troy Acres Boulevard, that is not something City Council should be legislating. If you have a golf cart, you don't want your kids driving them on Troy Acres Boulevard, that's what you should be doing as a parent, telling them no. But we should not be telling adults how to handle their own business. State law allows golf carts to ride on those roads. Do I think it's safe? Probably not. I wouldn't take my golf cart out there. But I also don't think that we as council should be legislating to adults what to do as it pertains to their own safety. So I'm not in favor of changing this on this as far as liability goes. We have liability on all the other streets that are 20. What difference does that make? As far as golf carts that aren't proper, those are already illegal. That's a matter of enforcing the current law. It has nothing to do with Shore Acres Boulevard. I think that should be an individual choice. That's my argument. Thank you.
All right, all those, I'll take a vote now. All those, we have a proper motion and a proper second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Nay.
So the, there was only four of us here, so motion passes 3-1. With Alderman Hoskins as the sole NARO. Item 7.5, discussion and approval of resolution number 2016-234. I think that should be 2017-234, but maybe not. Ratifying the mayor's nominee for appointment to position one of the Parks and Recreation Advisory Board for a term beginning February 14th and ending 2017 and ending January 31st, 2017. Mayor Sanford is not here. This is her item. Does anyone want to go forward with this? Lacking a motion, the item dies. Item 7.6, consideration and action to approve resolution number 2017-35, approving the payment invoices. Obviously, Mayor Sanford has requested that we use a resolution from this point forward to approve invoices, so that's what this is about. Do I have a motion to approve the invoices?
I make a motion to consider and approve resolution 2017-235, approving the payment of invoices.
Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a motion by Mr. Bowles, a second by Mr. McCallum. Do we have any discussion? And I'll start again with you, Mr. Hoskins.
Nope.
Mr. Bowles?
No, sir.
Mr. McCallum?
No, sir.
No discussion. Proper motion, proper second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? And the item passed unanimously 4-0. Item 7-7, consideration and approval of ordinance number 2017-254, retaining a city online message board in accordance with Texas Government Code Section 551.006. This was placed on the agenda by Alderwoman Schnell, who is not present tonight. Do I have a motion? Lacking a motion, the item dies. Item 7.8, consideration and approval of ordinance number 2017-255. Amending Shore Acres City Code Section 66-187, discontinuation of service. Since this is all in the vote, I'll just ask for a motion.
I make a motion. consider and approve ordinance number 2017-255, amending Schroeker City Code, section 66-187, discontinuation of service.
And do I have a second?
Second.
So I have a proper motion by Mr. Bowles, a second by Mr. McCown. Mr. Bowles, would you please explain this?
Yes, sir. It was brought to our attention. There's been a little bit of concern about our ordinance. We originally passed this so that we can collect money a little more timely, so that we're not carrying balances out. During that time, it was brought to our attention, and actually Mr. Stahl found that if we do it on 25 days, it can fall on the weekends. We're just modifying it to make it 27 days after the date of mailing. That will prevent it from getting disconnect services on the weekends. Keep it Monday through Friday. Doesn't protect for holidays, but this way it just makes it easier for everyone. When they get a disconnect notice, they can come and take care of it. So,
thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Do I have any discussion from Mr. Hoskins?
No.
Mr. Bowles, anything else?
No, sir.
Mr. McCown?
No, sir.
I have nothing to add. We'll take a vote with a proper motion and a proper second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? All those abstaining? And the measure passes 4-0. Item 7.9, discussion and approval of ordinance number 2017-256, amending the Shore Acres City Code 4232, appointment and removal of members to the board, to the Parks and Recreation Advisory Board, and that is mine. If I can find it here, I'll read it for you so I can have a proper motion. Thank you, Mr. McCown. I make a motion to approve ordinance number 2017-256, an ordinance amending City of Shore Acres City Code, amending section 4232, appointment and removal of members to the Parks and Recreation Advisory Board, containing a savings clause, containing a severability clause, making various findings and provisions relating to the subject, and finding compliance with the open meetings law and providing an effective date hereof. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
The motion by Jennings, second by Bowles. The reason I put this on the agenda has nothing to do with removing any powers from the mayor. It's just adding responsibility to council. We need to fill these positions on the board, Parks and Recreation Board. They're short for people, and we just need to get it done. And those nominations have been slow in coming. And so the reason I put this on there is so that more people can participate and get these positions filled. The Parks and Advisory Board is probably the most important thing in the city to me. I'm sure there are other boards that are more important to other people, but our parks are a main draw for this city, and our parks board has done a fantastic job. And as we saw tonight, two of our best members, long-serving members, have finally decided that it's time for someone else to fill the gap, so to speak. And so we need to get those positions filled. So that's why I put this on there, just so that members of council can also nominate people, should they choose. They don't have to, but should they choose, they're welcome to. And so that's the reason. Mr. Hoskins.
I don't have a problem with this point.
Mr. Bowles.
No, sir.
Mr. McGowan.
No, sir.
Hearing no further discussion, I'll take a vote. Given a proper motion by Jennings and a proper second by Bowles. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? And the motion passed unanimously. Item 7.10, consideration and action to approve resolution number 2017-236, appointing a parliamentarian. And again, I will probably ask Mr. McCown, because I don't think they're in my packet here for some reason. Make a motion to approve resolution. He's going to find it for me. Thank you. Resolution 2017-236, a resolution of the City Council of the City of Shore Acres appointing a parliamentarian and making various findings and provisions relating to the subject, finding compliance with the open meetings law and providing an effective date hereof. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
All right. Motion by Jennings, second by Bowles. The reason I put this on the agenda is so that we don't have to pay a lawyer to come to our meetings. City code has long provided for a parliamentarian to be named by council, and we've been going without that, and we've had some unfortunate meetings where there have been some discussions that may not have gone as they should have gone in a proper fashion.
And so the city ordinance gives us the opportunity to appoint a parliamentarian. And I asked Mr. Saul to do this. He somewhat reluctantly agreed, although I'm sure he knows that he will probably get more heat than he already gets. But we need an experienced person as a parliamentarian, so that we don't have to pay a lawyer to come and answer simple questions. So that's my reasoning, and I'll open the floor for discussion. Mr. Hustins.
I tend to agree with Mr. Stoll that he probably doesn't want this job.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
I tend to agree with what you said, that Mr. Stoll probably doesn't want this job. I'm not against having a parliamentarian. I prefer to have a registered, certified parliamentarian that is kind of like our lawyer. He doesn't live here, and whose primary role is to, you know, make sure that we are following the rules that we've set. I think that puts Mr. Stoll into a conflict, serving as both city secretary and parliamentarian during the same meeting. And but actually, when I saw this on the agenda, I went out and reached out to a few of them, and I haven't gotten all the information back just yet. But there's a gentleman by the name of Dennis Clark. He's a registered, certified parliamentarian who, yes, there'll be a slight cost to it. But I think it's kind of like a judge in a way. It would be a lot more fair for all of council to appoint someone that's totally independent. There would be no conflict of interest. And I'm not saying this just all wouldn't make a good parliamentarian or not, but it does put him in a situation that nobody wants to be in. So I'm in favor of a parliamentarian, but I just don't think Mr. Stoll would be the right person.
Noted.
With all due respect.
Mr. Bolts.
I don't have any questions. I don't have any objections.
Mr. McCown.
No, sir.
All right. Mr. Hoskins raises a good point, and I would encourage him to modify the city code in the future so that we would require a registered and certified parliamentarian. I don't know what that is, but I do know that Mr. Stoll is very qualified for this particular position, so that's why I put him on there. All those in, I'll take a vote, given the proper motion, proper second. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Nay.
And the motion passes 3-1 with Mr. Hoskins on the negative. Item 7.11, consideration and approval of ordinance number 2017-257, amending the general fund and utility fund operating budgets for fiscal year 2016-2017. 257. That is again mine. Ordinance number, I make a motion to approve ordinance number 2017-257. An ordinance of the City of Shore Acres, Texas, adopting Budget Amendment 3 to the operating budget of the City of Shore Acres, Texas, for the fiscal year 2016-2017, providing for the reallocation of budgeted expenditures to fund the travel expenses of the mayor, making various findings and provisions relating to the subject, finding compliance with the openings law, and providing effective date hereof. Do I have a second?
Second.
The second from Mr. McCown. Motion by James, second by Mr. McCown. I'll explain this really quick. As you know, the mayor made a trip to Austin while some of us were negotiating the budget. During those negotiations, there were no funds provided for travel expenses. Unfortunately, the mayor did not attend those meetings, did not know that. I had said previously that we would consider this, and then unfortunately it was not put on the agenda in this fashion. This is simply paying the exact cost of the mayor's unbudgeted travel from the first week of October. And I think it's the right thing to do, and I wish it had been handled in a different manner. I wish that the mayor and her supporters would have come to those meetings, but that did not happen. But I still think it's the right thing to do to pay this. And we have made a very, very protracted and very diligent effort to balance this budget this year. And so anytime we pay anything that's not budgeted, we try to subtract from an account that, you know, and as you know, if I know most of you were here during those hearings, we cut the budget very hard, and there's not a lot of fluff in there. But Precinct 2, County Commissioner Jack Mormon has agreed to take over the maintenance of the median on Shoreacre Boulevard. And so we will be able to take money from our contract with, I think it's Gonzales, is that correct?
Gabby's.
And we'll be able to take money from that because they're no longer doing that service. And so that's all this does. It takes money from that account, the exact amount to pay for the mayor's hotel bills, which I think is the right thing. That's my explanation for this. Mr. Hoskins. Mr. Bowles. Mr. McCown.
No, sir.
Hearing no discussion, I'll take a vote, giving a proper motion and a proper second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? And the motion passes unanimously. That's one half of this. Now, the other half is actually the next one, which is consideration and approval of Mayor Sanford's October 2016 travel expenses. You have a copy of it in your folder. It is $659.73. So we'll handle this like we do the, well, Mr. Hoskins may object because we don't have a resolution on this, but I'm going to go ahead and move forward like we did in the past, and I'm going to ask for a motion to approve Mayor Sanford's October 2016 travel expenses for in the amount of $659.73. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
And that was a second by Mr. Bowles?
Yes, sir.
All right. Do I have any discussion? Mr. Hoskins?
No.
Mr. Bowles?
No, sir.
Mr. McCown?
No, sir.
Hearing no discussion and moving forward, I will take a vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? And the motion in consideration and approval passes unanimously. And with that said, we are at item 8.0. Do we have a motion for adjournment?
Motion to adjourn.
I think I heard a bunch of motions. Do I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
And the meeting is adjourned. The February 13th meeting adjourned at 8:17 p.m. Thank you all for your attendance and participation this evening.